Blog Talk Radio.
And thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Media Radio Show. Tonight we're going to leave an open mic for anybody that wants to call in. The number is 213-816-0357. Again, 213-816-0357. Of course, the topic of conversation will be the trial that's kind of shaken the nation up at this point, especially Florida, the trial about Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman. So call and give us your opinion, your thoughts, your observations, your vision for how you'd like to see this end. I want to encourage everybody to check us out on the web at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com and hit us up on the GoFundMe link there. That will keep us going and keep a new show coming every week and help us stay on the air. Independent media has to be funded because we do not have any corporate sponsors. I want to quickly give a shout out to our sponsors, which are the Common Projects, or the Common Projects Network, Daughters of Isis, Florida Nature Photos, Here Be Monsters, which gives us our little time slot every week, Power New Media and Public Relations, Roundtree 7, Tarot and Stars, and the Hoodooed blog. And you can see those sponsors. They're linked up right on our webpage at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. If you have ideas for future guests or topics, just drop me a line at Anita Stewart, that's A-N-I-T-A-S-T-E-W-A-R-T, at gmail.com, or go visit us on Facebook at Wise Women Media. Our Facebook page, like the page. We're also tweeting under that same name. So now that the intro is out of the way, I just wanted to make sure that you all knew who did that opening song. It was The Ballad of Trayvon Martin by Will Hoag. Great song. I've got another little thing by him for after, I don't know, I'll play it in a couple minutes. But he breaks down his opinion about the whole Trayvon Martin thing and why he wrote the song. In the meantime, we have a caller from the 207 area code, so I'm going to zip this person in real quick. Oop, they're gone. They were there, and then they were gone. So hopefully they'll call us back. So I will go ahead to that Trayvon Martin cut by cut. It's The Ballad of Trayvon Martin cut by cut. It's an audio feed by Will Hoag talking about the song and his thoughts about why he wrote the song.
Young black kids doing the same things that we all did. Outside walking down the street.
The Trayvon case just really struck a chord. I mean, it struck a chord, obviously, with a lot of people. And a divisive chord with a lot of folks. Seeing his parents on television, I mean, as a parent of two boys, it was a powerful story to me. I see so many faces of friends of mine from growing up and think of the things that we did at 14, 15, 16, and 17, things like that. People want to argue that it's a stand your ground law or the guy has a right to carry a gun. And it's so much bigger than that. If another one of those, if we can all sort of step back, I think, and look at what really happened, if Zimmerman had just listened to the police and not gone out, and people want to say, well, he has a right to defend himself. Well, it didn't happen in his home. It didn't happen in his yard. He went and I hate it for him and his family, too. I mean, it's turned into this thing that could have easily been avoided. And some people have said, well, you should wait until the verdict is in, until you register an opinion. But honestly, if you listen to the verses of the song, the verses aren't opinions. The verses are what happened. I mean, and that's the only song I've ever written where I wrote out a timeline of what had happened, and I tried to get, all of the facts in there and all of the characters in there. And the verses really are... It's not opinion. It's what happened in the story, as tragic and true as that is, I don't claim to know whether the kid was an angel or not. I feel like the chorus was more written from a parent's perspective, and I would dare say that any parent, white, black, or other, that loses a 17-year-old kid, no matter how troubled, you still feel like you've lost an angel. I certainly know that I would feel that way about my kids. And so I feel like that was sort of the summation of what I think that, as a parent, you would feel.
So that was Will Hoag's impression and why he wrote the song, and it was very noble. And the cut that I played of the live performance did take place in Orlando. I wanted to make or do another audio feed. This was the young lady, I can't even recall her name, but she's on the Young Turks. And her and Chunk Yeager talk a little bit about the final case, the final deliberations. So I'm going to go ahead and play that now. And again, for anybody out there that's listening, if you would like to call in, our number is 213-816-0357. Again, 213-816-0357.
The defense and the prosecution had their closing arguments today in the George Zimmerman trial, and I think the prosecution actually had some very, very strong statements, and I actually want to read you a graphic from the prosecutor. He says, a teenager is dead. He's dead not just because the man made those assumptions, but because he acted on those assumptions, and unfortunately because his assumptions were wrong, Trayvon Benjamin Martin no longer walks on this earth. Now, he also showed some evidence during the closing arguments that I thought were very, very powerful. Let's take a look at the picture comparing what George Zimmerman had and what Trayvon Martin had. As you see, there's the gun, and that's what George Zimmerman used to shoot and kill Trayvon Martin. And it says, 28-year-old neighborhood watchman. Well, he was self-appointed neighborhood watchman. Criminal justice major, MMA trained, 40-pound advantage, aspiring marshal, police ride-along-er. An applicant, concealed firearm permit holder, armed practice shooter, long-term resident, and also when you look at the can of iced tea that Trayvon Martin had, he was just 3 weeks past 17 years old from out of town, and he ran.
So to me, the most relevant part of that graphic is clearly Zimmerman was the one pursuing him, Trayvon was the one who was running. Mm-hmm. On that alone, you know, the guy, the pursuer is the one who shot the guy he was chasing and killed him. For the guy who was the pursuer to make the self-defense argument, well, that's a very hard argument to prove. And remember, if you're arguing self-defense, the burden of proof switches to you.
Yes, yes.
So on that alone, I think that a lot of the experts here that are on TV were like, oh, no, no, the case is not 1,000,000%. No, I think you hope we're very likely to be not guilty. I don't think they're right. I mean, they're not emphasizing enough that the burden of proof is on Zimmerman to prove self-defense.
Yes.
And he didn't take the stand, and did he prove beyond a shadow of a doubt? I mean, look, was he able to convince the jury, let me put it this way, that the only possible story was that he just did self-defense? I don't think that's remotely true. Now, on the other hand, you know, did the state prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he had an intent to kill Zimmerman? I think that's also very hard, and I get why people say that's very hard.
So let's stop right there, because there are two possibilities in terms of a conviction. He could be convicted of second-degree murder, and with that conviction, there has to be proof that there was ill will, hatred, spite, and I think that it's difficult to prove that in this case. I mean, did he intend to shoot Trayvon Martin from the get-go? It's hard to prove that. But jurors can also consider manslaughter, which has a maximum sentence of 30 years in prison, and in that case, you do not have to prove ill intent. So I think that it's, if anything, it's more likely that he would be convicted of manslaughter, but of course, we don't know what the jury is going to decide.
All right, and I believe in the jury system, and I actually think we should give the jury more evidence and trust them. If we're going to trust the jury system, we should trust them completely.
Mm-hmm.
And give them the same evidence that the judge has. But anyway, So if they, you know, they were there throughout the trial, they saw every minute, we weren't. So whatever they decide is what they decide, and that's how our justice system works. Okay. Now, looking at it from the outside and seeing the evidence that I've seen, I would, if I was on the jury, I'd say manslaughter. I think it's fairly clearly manslaughter. He didn't necessarily intend the kid, he killed the kid, but he killed him, and it was because of what he did, his actions. He pursued him. There was a fight. He wound up shooting him, even though the medical examiner said that Zimmerman's injuries were very insignificant. So was his life absolutely in danger? Not necessarily. Did he see the one that started it? Yes. The kid is dead. Manslaughter. That's what manslaughter is all about.
Yeah, and I do worry about what type of standard this will set if George Zimmerman gets off with absolutely no conviction. And the reason why I say that is because you have to keep in mind, he's the one who started all of this. He saw someone walking through the neighborhood. He thought the kid was suspicious, so he decided to harass him, follow him. After the 911 operator, dispatcher, told him, do not follow this guy, he continued to do so, and it led to an altercation. He's the one who provoked Trayvon Martin. So that means that in the future, can someone just provoke anyone to fight with them? And even if they're unarmed, you can shoot and kill them if they decide to retaliate or fight back? I mean, that's a real problematic.
That's the answer. Yeah, that's the precedent that's being set. So if you ever want to shoot anybody, make sure that they're not armed. Go up and pick a fight. And if they fight back at all, they hit you, they slap you, they punch you, great. Then you pull out your gun, you shoot them, and you murder them, and you get away with it. And so that's a dangerous, dangerous precedent to set. I hope we don't set it. But again, we weren't there every minute of the trial. The jury was. So let's let them make the decision.
So that was the little back and forth between Chunk Yeager and... Her name is Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks. I thought it was a very valid and well-done commentary on today's series of events. The best article so far that I've seen about the case that's just recently come out today, within a couple of several hours, I would say, is out of the New York Times. It's called Zimmerman Case Goes to Jury with Defense Urging It to remove emotion from Sanford, Florida. In his three-hour closing argument on Friday, a lawyer for George Zimmerman said that his client was guilty only of protecting his own life when he fatally shot Trayvon Martin, and he chastised the prosecution as having filled jurors' heads with guesswork, not evidence. Mark O'Mara, one of Zimmerman's lawyers, told the jury that the prosecution had provided so little evidence of second-degree murder, the main charge, that he wished the verdict form contained three choices, guilty, not guilty, and completely innocent, because I would ask you to check that one. After hearing 3 weeks of testimony inside the Seminole County Courthouse, the jury of six women, five white and one Hispanic, began deliberations at 2:29 p.m. That was this afternoon. They adjourned at 6 p.m. and were to resume their work at 9 a.m. on Saturday. They are to decide whether Mr. Zimmerman is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of second-degree murder or of the lesser charge of manslaughter. If jurors agree it was self-defense, Mr. Zimmerman will be found not guilty. Mr. Martin, as this is a little bit of feedback or a little bit of background information for, I don't know how many of you out there would not know how this happened and when it happened and how, but Mr. Martin, 17, an unarmed black youth who was walking in the rain to a house where he was staying, was shot in the heart by Mr. Zimmerman. Mr. Zimmerman, then 28, and a neighborhood watch volunteer, said that Mr. Martin attacked him and that, fearing for his life, he shot the teenager. There were no witnesses to the shooting, which took place in the darkness shortly after 7 p.m. on February 26, 2012. A six-week delay in charging Mr. Zimmerman stirred outrage, and civil rights leaders led marches in Sanford, Miami, and elsewhere around the country. So you would have had to have been living under a rock to not know that and have that background information. So I urge you all to read the rest of the story at the New York Times. Title of the article, Zimmerman Case Goes to Jury with Defense Urging It to Remove Emotion. We still do not have any callers. Again, if you would like to call in, the number is 213-816-0357, 213-816-0357. I'll go ahead and play a song. by Alison Krauss, Can't Find My Way Home.
Thank you.
Well, hope you enjoyed that. That was Alison Krauss, Can't Find My Way Home. And then I played the second song was the John Butler Trio live at Red Rocks, Treat Yo Mama With Respect, an amazing bit of guitar work there by John Butler. There's still articles coming out about today's events, and I'm going to just give you the name of the next one that is pretty thorough in its description of what happened in the courtroom today. Zimmerman jury gets fragments pieced into a case by the defense and prosecution. That was out of the Washington Post under politics. Sanford, Florida began with fragments, a hoodie, a neighborhood watchman, a teenage boy. It ends with fragments, a yelp, two blurred figures in the dark, a gunpowder tattoo. The compulsively parsed, gargantuanly viewed, passionately felt trial that spooled out for 3 weeks in courtroom 5D here answered a question of guilt or innocence with a question: will we ever know exactly what happened that night in the retreat at Twin Lakes? Neither the defense nor the prosecution pretended to know for sure. In this era of omnipresent cameras, neither could show a video of the crime, neither could produce a witness who saw it all and told all. What they revealed over days of often scintillating testimony and in vigorous closing arguments Thursday and Friday was a mosaic. All of those fragments got glued together just enough, they hoped, to sway the jury of six women who began deliberating Friday on the second-degree murder and manslaughter charges against George Zimmerman and the death of Trayvon Martin. So you can read the rest of that article, again, at the Washington Post under politics. Zimmerman jury gets fragments pieced into a case by the defense and the prosecution. They have a little pie graph there that says, did prosecutors prove their case against Zimmerman? And 73% said no, 27% said yes. So you are able to cast a vote there if you are logged into the Washington Post. Again, if you want to talk about this case or offer your insight or opinion, you can give us a ring at 213-816-0357. Again, until we get a caller, I'm just going to go ahead and go on, play another song, and we'll see if anybody calls after that. Here's Bonnie Raitt.
Little by little, you fade while I fall apart. Oh.
that was Bonnie Raitt with Have a Heart. I have another audio feed here. This was from the protest that was actually taking place outside of the courtroom today. This was posted by the Orlando Sentinel.
What do we want?
Justice!
Yeah, we want.
As the jury in the trial of George Zimmerman deliberated inside the Seminole County Courthouse Friday, a group of about 60 demonstrators gathered outside the building awaiting the verdict.
I want my voice to be heard. And if I'm sitting at home watching television, my voice will not be heard. I want the world to know that I'm here for justice for Trayvon Martin and his family.
For hours, dozens stood in the so-called free speech zone set up in a grassy area steps away from the courthouse entrance, waving signs and chants.
People united!
It's more personal when you're here. And this is a child that got murdered. And I'm a mother. And I want justice for Trayvon.
Well, see, I have three kids. And I can understand the Martin's pain. I worry about my children. Just like I'm here protesting about the situation here.
No justice! No justice!
A few demonstrators in support for Zimmerman were also on hand.
Obviously, it's the other side that's garnering the most attention right now, and that's
sure.
Creepy-ass crap is racist. What do you mean by that? Explain.
I feel that that's a racist thing. Absolutely. There's nothing more to say about it.
Many of the demonstrators said they've been following the case since last year, and they've been watching the trial unfold for the past few weeks.
I think the charge is going to be guilty.
Either way it goes, Zimmerman's going to lose. You know, if he's acquitted, then, you know, I'm looking at it like, okay, where is he going to move to?
I will not rest until there is a conviction.
Around 6 p.m. Friday, Seminole County Circuit Judge Deborah Nelson announced that jurors wanted to end deliberations and resume on Saturday. Many in the crowd said they'd be back at 9 a.m.
And I will be here tomorrow.
So that was a little bit of feed from the Orlando Sentinel that actually just came out just a tiny bit ago about the protest that was taking place outside of the courthouse. There is a whole bunch of people actually posting on YouTube at this point, everybody giving their own opinion about what happened and how they anticipate that this will end. This is one from Mundane Matt.
One Mundane Matt here. So today, both the defense and the prosecution gave their closing arguments on the George Zimmerman trial. It's been a 19-day affair with over 40 witnesses being called. Testimony from both sides has been called into question. The prosecution, well, to be perfectly honestly 100% fair, have not done their job. They have not been able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Zimmerman acted in ill will and he set out to kill Trayvon Martin. I mean, they literally had to prove that he exited the car, cell phone in one hand, gun in the other, sights trained on Trayvon, followed him, talked some shit, and then shot him point blank in the chest. Well, 4 inches away, basically point blank. They have to prove that. They can't. They can't whatsoever. Their entire argument has been, well, he was an evil guy with hatred in his heart. Okay? He might have been a little bit overzealous in terms of being a secure, you know, neighborhood watch patrol or a guy who wanted to be a cop or anything like that. But ultimately, the guy, as far as I've read and seen, doesn't have hatred in his heart. He just wanted to do a job, maybe a little bit too passionate about what he does. But can you really fault someone for that? And yes, now there's a dead 17-year-old in the mix, so of course some people are going to probably try to say, yes, you can fault them for that. But ultimately, if we're talking about character, because people like to bring that up too, they like to say, oh, well, Trayvon was a thug and he did thuggish things. Yeah, it's true. He was on his third suspension for the school year, only being like 5 months into the school year. On his third suspension, he did like to get into fights. He took pictures on the cell phone of having a gun. He talked about selling guns. He talked about selling drugs. I mean, this kid was definitely into some illegal shit. Now, does that mean he deserved to die? Of course not. That's not even the argument here. You can also go on George's side. Well, George, he assaulted a police officer in 2006. He pushed a cop, hardly assaulting,
hardly using an MMA-style fighting, you know, training that he supposedly received from that one gym, which is funny because they actually have a link on their site to the fact that they trained Zimmerman there and everything. So, you know, hey, free advertisement for them. But hatred in Zimmerman's heart is not there. You know, it's not. Like, nothing about what he's done has been hateful. People like to say that that's the case, but it's not true at all. Now, here's why I think he might get convicted. And here's where it gets a little bit crazy. The judge, okay, and special prosecutor Angela Corey last year charged George Zimmerman with second-degree murder, right? She did so on a political level because she needed to charge him with something to get him off the street. And she needed to charge him with something that seemed worthy enough to warrant the protests and also to shut them up at the same time, right? So when you have so many people around the country protesting, holding these Justice for Trayvon rallies, all getting a lot of disinformation from the media, a lot of disinformation from just, you know, non-reputable sources and causing all the chaos and confusion and panic that happened, then, you know, it's going to only swell and swell and swell and swell and swell. And I've done a whole bunch of videos about this. You guys can go back and look at those. The point is she had to do something that got him off the streets. Okay. So she charged him with second-degree murder, which the state can't prove at all, have not been able to prove. Now, here's what the judge, Deborah Nelson, did. She told the jury that the jury has the right if they want, the ability if they want. They can't find him guilty on second-degree murder. They can go for manslaughter, right? Right? Think about that for a second. He's being charged with second-degree murder, not a serious charges. Second-degree murder is the only charge. One charge, second-degree murder. Now she comes out and says, if you guys want to find him guilty for manslaughter, that's okay. I mean, effectively telling them, well, if you can't get him for this, you can get him for the other. Right? Isn't that just a little bit illegal or unconstitutional or, I don't know, wrong? That's a way to look at it, just being wrong. Why is she doing this? She's doing this because, one, people on Twitter, black people on Twitter, are saying if Zimmerman walks, they're going to go start killing white people. Riots, like there's a big fear for riots. The Sanford chief of police has gone door to door asking people not to riot, that he's trying to keep the peace. There's going to be like a zero tolerance rule in effect once the verdict is read. So any riots happen, shit's going to go down. Like, I mean, huge shit's going to go down. People are going to riot one way or the other. That's the thing. And I think they want a conviction for Zimmerman because they need to keep the peace, which is why they charged him second-degree murder, to keep the peace. So if they can do that, then they can get him, they can file, you know, find him guilty on manslaughter, which is like nine years to life, I think, which, of course, then his defense team will file an appeal. The appeals process will go through the courts. At that point, they'll be able to basically find him not guilty of that, and then he'll be able to be free at that point because the appeals process will go, oh, they'll overturn the conviction because they had no evidence to support manslaughter, nor did they charge him with manslaughter. And the only downside of that is, for Zimmerman's sake, is if they overturn that, then it might disregard the stand your ground acquittal, which is what he's trying to do, because in Florida there is a section of that law that disallows anybody from suing on a civil side, on a civil suit, against that person for monetary damages. Like, kind of like how OJ was found not guilty in the legal trial, but on the civil suit, he was found guilty and, like, needed to pay out, like, $12 million, right? Because it's two varying levels there. So in this case, Trayvon Martin's parents will not be able to sue him, whereas if he is arrested and sent to, you know, jail for that, they might sue him in a civil court, in a civil case, and then he'll have to pay out a shitload of money, which he doesn't have. So, you know, really, it's like more of a whatever. But this is the situation. This is why Zimmerman is most likely going to be charged, going to be convicted of manslaughter. They can't get him on murder, too. Absolutely no way. And they're throwing on an extra charge at the end. Now, the prosecution's closing arguments were very, like, kind of over-the-top dramatic, the kind of thing I probably would do is, you know, be a lot of theatrics and everything. But Mark O'Mara's closing arguments is basically like, here's what happened, here's what we know, here's what the evidence shows, They don't have that information. We have that information. Obviously, this is what's going on. So, you know, let Zimmerman go home. Because either way, Zimmerman's life is over. It doesn't matter. He could be taken out. You know, someone could go all Jack Ruby on his ass, which I expect and suspect will happen. So it's all fucked up. It's all stupid. It's all ridiculous. It's all something that should never have happened in the first place. But now that it has, how do we deal with that as a country? How do we deal with that as a society? And a lot of it boils down to the fact that people want to react, that they want to react to this, right? Like they're trying to say that it's like a white on black hate crime, yet Zimmerman is Peruvian, you know, Jewish. He's a white Hispanic, apparently. It's a new race we got out of this whole thing. If you listen to his family background, like his brother talks openly about it on Twitter and does interviews. I mean, if you've done your research, you'll know that this is a case that was blown out of proportion by race baiters that were just trying to serve their own interests, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and go to the forefront of everything and only push their own agenda. And as a result of that, this case, which is horrible and tragic in its own right, was molded and twisted and changed into what we have now, which is a country on the edge of a riot over basically like a misunderstanding between two people and a misconstruing of the events at hand. So it's tragic and it's horrible and it should never have happened, like I'm saying. But that's just the world we live in now, and that's what's going to happen. So I hope Zimmerman gets acquitted, because I think that's fair and that's right. I think he's going to get manslaughter charges, and I think that they'll file the appeal. And I think that once they file the appeal and it all goes away, we'll never really talk about it again, except for maybe a 20-year reunion down the road. Where is George Zimmerman now? Living in some coastal nation, changed his name, got reconstructive surgery, moved on with his life type stuff. I don't know. Anyway, my name is Mundane Matt. You can find me at mundanematt.tumblr.com, twitter.com/mundanematt.
So that's another viewpoint from Mundane Matt on YouTube, and as you would expect, there's so many people uploading videos and audio feeds and stories on this topic tonight. It looks like everybody has an opinion. Everybody wants to talk about it. Again, I'm waiting for callers, 213-816-0357. I will continue to provide you with some music and some information about the ongoing story. The Young Turks did just release another video. They say they have a picture that was released by the court. I'm going to go ahead and play the audio feed for you. It was just released about 20 minutes ago.
MSNBC had broadcasted a picture of Trayvon Martin's dead body, and it was a picture that authorities took when they arrived to the scene. And this picture was shown to the jury as evidence in the George Zimmerman trial. As you guys can see, it's graphic and difficult to look at, but it gives you a sense of what Trayvon Martin looked like on the night of that shooting. I know that the defense tried to make him look like he was some sort of thug, but as you look at that picture, he's wearing skinny jeans or skinny khakis. They're folded at the bottom. His hoodie is not even a baggy hoodie. I mean, he looks nothing like a thug. He looks like a child. And he was 17 years old when he got shot.
No thug has ever worn skinny jeans.
Yeah, I mean, khakis also. But, yeah. You know, they keep making a big deal about the hoodie, right? And what they showed him wearing there is not what we all think of as a hoodie, right? When you think of a hoodie, it's like a big sort of
baggy sweater.
That's not what he's wearing right there, which, not that that has any relevance on
so,
what happened.
But it does have relevance on the framing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So when you, if instead you said khakis and a sweatshirt,
right,
which is basically what he's wearing,
yeah,
then it doesn't seem as menacing as a hoodie, although I don't think hoodie's menacing. But some do, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, Geraldo Rivera thinks it's the most menacing thing in the world.
So when was the last time a thug cuffed their khakis on the bottom?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't remember seeing any of the gangsters from the Valley do that. It's absurd. And I like that Cenk brought up the framing of it, because that's really, you know, the essence of the story here. I mean, you have the two sides, and the defense keeps making it seem like George Zimmerman was in grave danger, and it was like this very suspicious kid. And I don't know. Look, do I think that he was capable of hurting George Zimmerman in an altercation? Yes, sure. You can't just judge someone based on their looks. But what made George Zimmerman follow him in the first place? If I had seen that guy walking in my neighborhood, I wouldn't automatically think, hey, that guy's suspicious.
Yeah.
What is it about Trayvon Martin that made him want
to
follow him?
And to that point, you know, oftentimes the people that are on Zimmerman's side will say, look, this isn't about race, you know. And oftentimes they will talk about, like, it depends on what you're wearing, what the context is, et cetera. But, okay, now we saw what he was wearing, and it seems like it was about race. I mean, if you had a white kid wearing khakis rolled up with a sweatshirt, no way Zimmerman or anybody goes around. Because, look, if it was like a hoodie and he's got tattoos, mm-hmm. well, none of this is justifiable. None of
it, right?
But you might say, like, oh, I don't know, he had a neck tattoo and I got irrationally scared, right? But here, none of it is the case. And the only thing that remains is race.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the issue here. The other thing is, look, I was torn on whether to show the picture. Like, you know, because as you, I have two kids, and I'm looking at that 17-year-old kid, and it rips you up inside looking at him there. He's passed away, et cetera. But I want the jury to see that.
And the jury did see that, thankfully.
And you got to remember here, there's a victim. We're not just talking about George Zimmerman and what happens to him the rest of his life. The whole thrust of the case is this 17-year-old kid is not going to have the rest of his life.
And of course, MSNBC didn't so much show it as the pool. That was what the pool reporter, that's what the pool camera showed, and then they have another camera in all trials that they can go to if something graphic shows up that the pool is showing, and MSNBC was just late to switch.
Yeah. By the way, they did, right before we started just now, they did apologize already. Mm-hmm. MSNBC apologized.
Yeah, I think we should start thinking about how we view, this is a matter of that the country is interested in, this is a news story, and seeing the dead body is a big part of that story. And I, and the guy who wrote this for Gawker, Adam Weinstein, you know, he says to Trayvon's parents, Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin, I'm sorry that I feel compelled to share this picture. And I, again, this is a nice thing for him to say. I totally get why he feels as a reporter compelled to share the story. I think we ought to see it. I think we ought to see the bodies of dead American soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's largely the same point. And it's somehow disrespectful to show it. But here, in a case where we're talking about literally the manner of his death, mm-hmm. and the tragedy of such a young death, I think it's, of course, relevant, and it instantly makes an impact on us, as I'm sure, no doubt, it did to the jury.
And so if you don't see that, you might not be seeing what the jury totally saw. So, you know, you got a lot of these experts, so-called legal experts on TV saying, oh, he's likely to get acquitted. But if you didn't see that dead body like the jury did, you might think he's likely to get acquitted, but maybe the jury says, why did he chase down this kid? I mean, look at the picture, et cetera. And so it's unquestionably relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of it is a great point Anna made when we were having this discussion off air as to whether we should show it or not. So look, we showed the dead Syrian kids when we talked about the Syrian war, and those pictures were far, far more graphic because it's important to know what war is like, and it's important to know what really happened here. This kid actually died, and it's one thing to think about it theoretically. It's another thing to see it and to feel it. And when you see it as a human being, you have the reaction, and honestly, the right reaction, which is outrage. Now, that doesn't mean you go on a witch hunt. You got to figure out who did it. You got to be rational about that, and you got to see if you can prove it, right? But part of that process is seeing what actually happened.
And just one more thing. When I looked at that picture, it made me even more enraged at the fact that when police arrived on the scene, they refused to arrest George Zimmerman, and they refused to do a toxicology test on him. They did the toxicology test on Trayvon Martin. Again, I look at that kid, and I don't think, oh, my God, he's a threat. Well, why would you do the toxicology exam on him first?
Right. And speaking of toxicology, I mean, the idea that because he was stoned or has some little amount of weed in his system without being glib about weed, I mean, nobody is smoking weed and then getting violent. It just never has happened. Now, I can understand part of what they were saying was that it could have impaired his judgment in a way that maybe made him seem more suspicious or something like that. And I guess there's some slight kernel of truth to that. But the fact that it was even brought in, you know, it's not like, we all know what weed does to you. It's not the same thing that's doing speed.
It's a way of demonizing
like
him.
But to me, Anna's point is overwhelming here because we don't know what was in Zimmerman's system, because the assumption of the cops was the guy who did the shooting is not the person we should investigate. Not only did they not do toxicology, but they also did not do a criminal background check on Zimmerman. He's the shooter. They did do not only toxicology, but a criminal background check on the kid lying dead. I mean, if you're a cop, you show up at the scene, you see what we just saw, and you think, oh, well, Zimmerman's fine, but let me make sure that this kid is not a criminal.
It's literally counter to what every competent policeman in the country would do. 98% of cops are going to see a dead kid going to his father's house and the other guy had a gun. You're going to run a toxicology test on the guy with the gun.
So there you go. There's a little bit of information about, well, what just came out and in regards to Chunk Yeager and the rest of his team, speaking about the picture that was just released. It's really quite a shame that all of this has happened, that there's so many differing opinions. I've tried to present a few of those for people because the media is going to direct us into what they think we should be thinking. I'm going to play another song by Pink, The Truth About Love.
The truth about love comes at 3 a.m. You wake up, fucked up, and you grab a pen. And you say to yourself, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to crack that code, going to break it down. I'm tired of all these questions, and now it's just annoying, because no one has the answer, so I guess it's up to me to find the truth about love as it comes and it goes. A strange fascination with his lips on his toes. Bonnie breath, bedroom eyes on a smiling face. Sheet marks, rug burn, and a sugar glaze. Shocking the eye that can eat your eyes. It's the truth about love.
Thank you for being out there listening and part of our show this week. You can see us online at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. Be sure to hit us up on the GoFundMe link We do not have corporate sponsors, so independent media must be funded. And I look forward to seeing you all on the radio next week. Thanks for being a part of this show, and good night.